أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الرسول، بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك، وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته، والله يعصمك من الناس، إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about the arguments and the reasons that favor the imamate of the rest of imams. Till now, we talked about this important issue to prove and substantiate the imamate and the successorship of Imam Ali alayhi salam to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. A question might click your mind that, okay, if we could prove and substantiate the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam, so does it mean or does it imply that the rest of the imams' imamah should also be proven or not? They are in dire need of independent arguments and reasons. Or is it possible that if we could prove Imam Ali alayhi salam's imamah, so the rest of the imams' imamah would automatically or would spontaneously be substantiated? Or the case is otherwise. Or the case is somewhat other than this. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, today, God willing, we are going to highlight those important facts, those important arguments which favor the rest of the Shi'ites' imamah. We are of the view that the rest of the imams, imamah, does also have and enjoy rich in content arguments. There are some four important arguments which explicitly connote on our imams, imamah. I mean Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam's imamah till Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's imamah. So there are 11 imams except Imam Ali alayhi salam that their imamah should also be proven. So the arguments which we would offer you, dear listeners, are as following. The first important argument which substantiate the rest of the imams, imamah in leadership is the very conditions and characteristics of imam. You might be well aware, or it should be reminded, that on the first session that we talked about imamah, we talked about the important in those obligatory characteristics of imam, that every imam, in accordance with the Shia theological demonstrations, he has to meet these certain characteristics. For example, imam should be infallible. Imam should not be prone to blunders, imam should not be prone and exposed to various kinds of errors and blunders. The second was this, that he has to be divinely knowledgeable, or he has to be provided divinely granted knowledge. We call it ilm ladunni. It means he has to be divinely inspired. He has to be divinely given this knowledge. The third important characteristic of Imam was this, that he has to be determined by Almighty Allah. He has to be appointed by Almighty Allah. So if all the Muslims come together and make a unanimous agreement on these certain conditions, on these conditions and characteristics, for sure there would be a unanimous agreement amongst all the people, amongst all the Muslims, about the Imams. For historically talking, no other one enjoyed infallibility except these infallible Imams and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, and the rest of the Prophets. Save the Prophets and our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, plus these 14 figures, including Hadrat Zahra alayha salam, no one has enjoyed infallibility. So if the Muslim community come together and if they had agreed upon the characteristics of Imam, so spontaneously there would have been a unanimous agreement about the Imams. But you know that the rest of our Sunnite brothers do not accept these conditions and terms we have put for Imam. Because the Imams or the Caliphs, they follow and they abide by their commandments and orders. Indeed, they have not enjoyed infallibility. Neither they were divinely inspired, or they were given or granted Almighty Allah's knowledge. And moreover, they were not appointed by divinity either. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the first important characteristic, the first important argument that proves the Shi'ites Imam's Imamah, that is, the very characteristics, the very conditions we have put for Imam and for a Caliph. No other individual save these infallible Imams can meet all these conditions and characteristics. This is the first reason. The second most important reason and argument that favor the rest of the Imam's leadership, that is the explicit expressions made by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. There are a host of traditions and narratives that is stained that the rest of the Imams have already been pinpointed, have already been appointed by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. One of the famous and well-known traditions that circulate around the Shi'ites theology and we can say books, that in plus our Sunnite brothers' canonical books, that is the tradition, or that is the narrative of Ithna Ashar Khalifa, that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, talked and predicted about the future of the Muslim community, saying that this community would not be misled unless and until they are firmly faithful and loyal to the 12 caliphs and 12 successors of mine. Even their names have been said by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, and all are from the Quraysh tribe. So this tradition and this narrative has been frequently narrated in the Sunnites and the Shi'ite canonical traditional books. So a person who transmitted this narrative He is Jabir ibn Thamurah, who says, قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ يَقُولُ لَا يَزَالُ هَذَا الدِّينُ مُسْتَقِيمًا حَتَّى يَقُومَ 12 خَلِيفَةً ثُمَّ قَالَ كَلِمَةً لَمْ أَفْهَمْهَا فَسَأَلْتُ أَبِي فَقَالَ قَالَ كُلُّهُمْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. Again, it has been transmitted like this. عن جابر بن سمره قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لا يزال هذا الدين عزيزا منيعا ينصرون على من ناواهم إلى 12 خليفة وقال كلمة أصمنيها الناس فقلت لأبي ما الكلمة التي أصمنيها الناس فقال قال كلهم من قريش. The most important and the most significant canonical traditional books of our Sunnah brothers have quoted and transmitted this tradition, saying that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household has said that this deen or this religion will survive and will remain until and unless you people follow this 12 Khalifa, these 12 Caliphs. Then the transmitter of hadith is that so something or the people said something that I could not understand a word of our Holy Prophet's tradition. Then I asked my father what our Holy Prophet has said the time that I could not understand, I could not get him. قَالَ كُلُّهُمْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. His father has said to him that our Holy Prophet has said that all these 12 caliphs will be from the Quraysh tribe. So this is the explicit expression of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household, about the imamate of the rest of the imams. Had not they been legitimate leaders and figures, they would not have been predicted, or there would not be any prediction from our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, about them. You know that this tradition has been transmitted by those earlier figures of the Sunnite brothers, such as Bukhari and the rest of the people. They were living during our imams. It means they were contemporary to our imams and they had written and quoted this tradition. It implies another important point that at that time there was not a clear-cut line between the Shiites and the Sunnites. But again, they have quoted this tradition. There is not any slight assumption of interference of the Shiites' clergies and the Shiites' scholars, because there might be some misunderstanding that, okay, the Shiites' clergies or the Shiites' scholars have fabricated such kind of tradition or such kind of interpretation they have made. But if you refer to the history and the time that this tradition has been produced and has been transmitted, has been quoted, has been written in the Sunnite books, you would come to this conclusion that this tradition has been transmitted by those people who were very much early. They were not under the impression of the Shiite recitation of the Islamic concepts. But again, since it was a true tradition, since it has been produced from our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, unanimously they have all quoted this tradition. So it shows that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, had explicit expressions about the imamate of the rest of the imams as well. not only about Imam Ali alayhi salam's successorship, but also the rest of the Imams. Imama has been talked about from our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, side. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the content or the implication this tradition gives, that is very much clear. Firstly, this tradition has been transmitted by all the Shiites and the Sunnites side. Secondly, this tradition gives us the number of the caliphs, that neither this tradition stains on the Umayyads caliphs nor to the Abbasid caliphs. The Umayyads caliphs are fewer than 12 caliphs, and the Abbasid caliphs are more than 12 caliphs. None of them can usurp this tradition for themselves. None of them can say that, okay, we are the Muslim caliphs, we are the legitimate Muslim caliphs because of the traditions that has been produced from our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, and his household. This tradition clearly talks about the number of the caliphs, that how many caliphs you would people have, and by these 12 caliphs you would be guided, and Islam would be a very strong religion amongst you. The fourth point is that neither of them were good people, that religion should be stained by them, or religion should be strengthened, or religion should be developed by them. Their words and their works are not defendable. We, from all this contextual evidence, we draw this conclusion that this tradition cannot be applied for the Umayyads and for the Abbasids either. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the third important argument we put forth and we offer you, dear listeners, for this to prove the rest of the Imam's leadership and successorship, that is, the explicit wordings of the previous Imam. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was going to pass by from this world, when he was going to travel, he has said that, yes, after me it is Imam Hassan alayhi salam that he would lead the Muslim figures, the Muslim people. And again, the same expressions made by the previous Imam for the next Imam, this explicit expressions made by the infallible figures connote that there are only 12 infallible Imams after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household. And it connotes that the rest of the people who have usurped the caliphate or who have taken the chair of leadership, they are not legitimate leaders. Though it has been suddenly or abruptly or redundantly they have come in the power. But from the Shariat point of view, we cannot prove legitimacy for them, because we did say that the theory of selection suits best, that the Muslim leader should be appointed by Almighty Allah. Many contemporary scholars such as Ayatollah Hakim and the rest of the people have written the books like Fi Rahab al-Aqidah. There they have collected lots of evidence that favor this claim. For those of you who are interested in details of this topic, you can refer to this important book and along with the reference they have made. The fourth important argument that we can put forth here, that is the collection of contextual evidence. It means that if one of these arguments that we put forth, it could not persuade you, by collecting all the evidence, by studying or by having a thorough study in the in the Islamic history, in the traditions that we have received from the prophets, from the Prophet Muhammad and the rest of the Imams, all of them bringing together, clustering all of them, it would produce an output, and that will substantiate the rest of the Imams, Imamah, and leadership. For instance, there is important hadith of Saqalain, two weighty, precious things that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household said that I would leave these two important, precious things. In some other versions of this tradition, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household explicitly says that I would leave behind two caliphs. The tradition is, عن زيد بن ثابت قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله إني تارك فيكم خليفتين. We have this version too, that إني تارك فيكم الثقلين. So this version that is transmitted by زيد بن ثابت, he has also quoted this version, saying, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ خَلِيفَتَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ حَبْلٌ مَمْدُودٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَعِتْرَتِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي فَإِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ. The very word of caliphs has been used in this tradition that has been quoted by Zayd ibn Thabit. So no doubt is remained there that one has to doubt what does he mean from these two important things. If one doubts about two precious things, then he does not doubt about this explicit word of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household. So all these expressions made by the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, connote and imply that not only Imam Ali alayhi salam's imamah can be verified, but also the rest of the imams' imamah can also be verified through these important and reliable sources and traditions. It is not something that some people have accused the Shias that they have fabricated such stories. No. We have to refer, we have to have a thorough study, we have to have a scientific, we can say, impartiality. Otherwise, with prejudice, with prejudices, with biasness, we cannot penetrate deeply into the truth. We cannot grasp fully the truth. Another important point that should be kept in mind, that is that the imams themselves have also claimed imamah for themselves. So when imams claimed imamah for themselves, since we believe they were infallible and they were not prone to errors, at least this tradition can be valid for those of the Shi'ites, that their imams had not been silent towards imamah and leadership. The imams claimed imamah for themselves. In various cases, they have said that this was our right, that we have to be the Muslim leader, though we have been isolated by the rest of the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household. But it was we who had deserved first to be nominated as Muslims' leader. Moreover, another implication, when their devotees say to them that you are our leader, had not they been the rightest leaders, they would have shown the rightest way for the Shi'ites. But they did not stop their devotees that they should not proclaim, they should not spread this thought. You know that the Shi'ites believe that they are imams. If it was not true that they are imams, So the imams should have stopped them. The imams could have stopped them. But the imams did not do this. Rather, they have encouraged their devotees, their followers, that this truth must be spread. So it is not the fault of the Shi'ites. Had it been the imams who are thought to be infallible, who are thought to be reliable and trustworthy leaders, they would have stopped the Shi'ites not to say this. But the imams did not do this. The imams encouraged their followers to express and to spread and to develop this theory that we were the real leaders of the Muslims. Though in practice, some other thing had occurred. The last point that should be mentioned, that is the traditions transmitted from the book, one of the important books of our Sunnite brothers called Yanabi'ul Mawadda. It has been written by one of the well-known Sunnite scholar. So this Yanabi'ul Mawadda contains priceless traditions, priceless narratives that is stained by the claim we have just made, that not only Imam Ali alayhi salam is the genuine leader of the Muslim after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, but also his 11 descendants are also the imams of the Muslim people. He has quoted an important tradition from Ibn Abbas, who is thought to be a trustworthy transmitter of hadith, not only amongst the Shi'ites, but also amongst the Sunnite brothers. He says, Ibn Abbas quotes our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, saying, إِنَّ خُلَفَائِ وَأَوْصِيَائِ وَحُجَجُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ بَعْدِ الْإِثْنَى الْعَشَرِ أَوَّلُهُمْ عَلِي وَآخِرُهُمْ وَلْدِ الْمَهْدِي. It means that the successors of mine and those who are awsiya, the people who succeeds to the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household, my caliphs, my successors, are 12 people that they are deemed as authority of Almighty Allah. They are deemed as people of authority. There are 12 people. The first of them is Ali alayhi salam, and the 12th of them is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the evidence cannot be restricted to all these what we have stated to you right now. But for he who seeks the truth, for he who is more curious in this respect, there are a host of books from both the Shi'ites and the Sunnite side. He who tries to study in depth with profundity, for sure he will find the truth. And may Almighty Allah bless us all to grasp this truth and practically apply them in our own practical life and finally be resurrected with our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household, along with the infallible imams. May God bless you all. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.